What channel did you say you gave us in your territory?
109?
109. I see. 1-freaking-09. They do zombie takeout on channel 6 of your silly hairball network, you ungrateful cretin. Hello and welcome to Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie show. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we have some feedback. This is actually a restatement of some feedback from last week. I just needed to bring it back. Bodo on Twitter said, I hope you didn't mean a rollerball doubleheader by watching the second rollerball movie. I'm only 2 minutes in and I already hate it. Yes, like I said, we read that last week, but We didn't fully understand the gravity of it last week, I don't think.
Is this a first, though? That
we're reading the same thing twice? Or
we've done sequels,
kind of remakes,
but we've never done remakes back-to-back.
I think this is the first time we've done that, and I mean, whether or not this is a remake is debatable, because the story is a little different. But
We did both Psychos, didn't we?
Did we do them back-to-back, though? You're right. We did.
I think we may have even did it in the same episode.
Yeah, right. We did Psycho. I forgot we did the second Psycho.
I mean, that was a long time ago. Was that episode 50 or 100?
Psycho was 50, so the remake would have been 51. Yeah. So it was a long time ago. For those watching YouTube who don't know the podcast, we've been doing this for 10 years, mostly as a podcast. This is episode 394. So, Psycho and Psycho were 50 and 51. Anyway, on to this week's movie, which is from 2002, Rollerball, concluding, finally, our Rollerball two-parter. And, of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by writers, actors, and directors. When making a movie, for fuck's sake, hire writers, actors, and a director.
And also brought to you by multinational corporations. They could never be the bad guys, right?
Of course not. Unlike, you know, how many science fiction movies?
Well, that's the thing. In this version,
it's not science fiction.
We take all the corporatocracy out of the original, and now we move this over to, you know, some other country, and it's some other problem, and it's all those foreigners that are really, you just can't trust, and they're dirty dealing and stuff like this. Never would this happen in the U.S., as the original was suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we begin with a pretty useless Back to the Future-style luge through the city.
It took me about 5 minutes to remember what that sport was called. Street luge.
Yeah.
I was Googling like full body skateboarding and whatever, trying to figure out what it was called from my notes. It's street luge.
Yeah. So they do this whole elaborate scene, which I guess they were just doing it because it was there. I mean, it was bored.
The late 90s, early 1000s. This is 2000. So it was early 1000s.
Yeah.
That's why they were doing it.
And I mean, it was mildly interesting, I guess, but it was utterly pointless.
Because LL Cool J's character saves him from the cops.
LL Cool J somehow knows where he is in the city, pulls up next to him, you know, and is able to get him to climb into his car and then make a getaway.
Because Chris Klein's character, Jonathan, was taking part in this illegal street lugeing competition. Illegal street luge.
Yeah. And so LL Cool J makes the pitch for him to join this other sport, rollerball, even though he's got a shot at a real sport in the NHL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, you could just leave all that behind and come
into
on
another
over.
Country and get the shit beaten out of you
on
camera.
Where they can change the rules at a whim.
Yeah. Okay, well, he would have gotten the shit beaten out of him in the NHL, too, so that's not
very
really
true.
Valid
very argument. True. But you're wearing some protective gear there.
True. And you're not on rollerblades.
He initially says no until he finds the police looking for him at his place, And so he figures he'll take this up to lay low from the law in the US and maybe make some money off the deal. Well, that's where we get into where the original movie, they added a few things to the sport, which actually made sense. You know, the places to hide, the thing.
It made sense, but they were shot so frenetically, you couldn't really follow it.
Well, right.
And the rollerball scenes were the only part of the original that I really enjoyed.
The concept of actually adding the things to the sport, you know, the hamster tunnel
they
and
went
all that
very
stuff.
American Gladiators with it.
True, true. But I think it was a good idea because it's very realistic. You'd want something to give a chance to people who weren't on a motorcycle, true, you know, a place true. To get away from the motorcycle. Yeah. Although in the original, they used the motorcycles a lot more to get speed.
The bikes in the original weren't so much, you know, competitive players so much as they were just there to speed everything up. You know, everybody kind of hitched on it. And
that's kind of how they started in the original.
Well, eventually got used that way. But the original intention was to just create speed.
And in this one, not as much, but they have the tunnels and everything to get. And like I said, on paper, that makes perfect sense. But the way they portray the game in this movie, this could have been just Parcheesi. <You know? laughs> I mean, the game was really insignificant. It just happened to be, we saw this old movie and there was this game in it. And, they couldn't even bother to make up a third team.
And everything was pretty insignificant in this movie. The plot was pretty insignificant in this movie.
They play Mongolia twice, like Mongolia, then China, then Mongolia again. I don't even think there was a championship talking about here. They don't even, you never know the scores of the game. They never mention the score once. We assume that Jonathan won, but we don't know.
Because he's the good guy.
Right. So those games happen. In the midst of all that, he gets a girlfriend on the team, and of course everything has to be kept, you know, from the boss,
the owner, the
mobsters, and various other ne'er-do-wells.
Corporate overlords.
Yeah, not well. They're not corporations.
They're more corporate overlords this time. Okay.
Yeah, this is now, you know, Kazakhstan mob.
Right. Okay.
So they took pretty much the message of the original of how, you know, corporations are going to run our lives to distrust of foreigners.
We'll get to that when you're done with the summary.
So, right, there's this other subplot that comes in about the mines and the miners, and there's a riot involved. But what comes down to at the final game, he tries to get his girlfriend traded away to keep her safe and out of this because, of course, the threat is to kill her.
Well, before that, he left the team. He was trying to run for some reason.
That's true.
I missed something there. I don't know why he was trying to run away.
He tried to defect. Because first somebody gets their skull pretty much crushed.
Oh, yeah. The game is very violent.
They figure out that the helmet, the strap of the helmet was sabotaged to fall off.
Right.
And as they're investigating that, then there's, attempts on a few of their lives.
Okay, I completely missed any attempt to investigate that. It was brought to the owner, and then I didn't notice any mention of it after that.
When he realizes that the owner is pretty much in on it, actually, his girlfriend points out to him, played by Rebecca Romijn, she points out that that they knew about this in advance because the TV cameras weren't on the action. They were on this guy 15 seconds before. And so when he figures this out, they start snooping around, and during a game, LL Cool J's character, I can't remember exactly his name.
Ridley?
Ridley?
I want to say Ridley, but I'm not sure.
When he's almost killed. He's on the ambulance, and the first thing he says when he takes off his mask is, "We are out of here." So that's when they decide they're going to defect. They have the whole sting to get mm-hmm. them out of the hospital.
And the night vision scene.
Well, the night vision scene is the least of this movie's problems.
Oh, yes.
I mean... that might have been okay, I think, if it was in a surrounded by a better movie.
If it was given at least some context of somebody watching them with night vision, okay.
That's true. That's true. So the defection does not go well, and he is back on the team, and he has to pretend that he's in on this, and he wants a piece of the action, but of course. The mobster sees right through this anyway, and he fucks him over by... His one demand was to trade his girlfriend, and he does, but to the team they're playing, the Mongolians, why they're playing them again, don't know. Maybe there's only three teams in the league, who knows?
And he decided against the NHL for that.
Well, so the end doesn't just, you know... It's not like the original where everybody's taken out. His team is completely taken out, but the other team decides to get off the ice, or the ice, get off the track, and he's just, you know, skating around with the ball himself. But instead of going for the win, he starts a revolution. remember, what was it, the movie Sucker Punch,
mm-hmm.
where they free themselves through right. dance.
Yeah, yeah.
He frees himself through a ball. he frees the entire nation through a ball.
He takes the ball and throws it through the glass and then attacks the mob boss who was trying to keep him down.
And if you do want to see some of the worst fight scenes you could ever possibly see, watch him overpower some dudes with guns.
Yeah.
With the ball.
This is the same director. I was going to say this later.
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah. This is the same director as Die Hard, Last Action Hero, and Predator.
Wow.
Although, on to some trivia. I'm just going to go to my trivia. Although the first draft of the script was considered by many to be very good and even superior to the original film, director John McTiernan decided he didn't like it because it focused more on social commentary, while he thought the audience would like to see more of the rollerball scenes. This is why he had the original script completely rewritten several times and made sure it focused more on the WWE-like showmanship, including crazy costumes and stunts.
Now, it would have been one thing if they had actually focused on the game.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Like, just go completely absurd with it, be, you know, giant and cotton candy, and just give us the big action game scenes. That would have been fine. I could have watched that for an hour and a half.
Right, like
as long as I could follow it.
I mean, the original focused on the game very heavily. Mm-hmm. Like, it's only a week later, and I barely remember the subplots of that movie.
He was being forced to retire, is all I remember. He was
being forced to retire because they were afraid he was getting too big.
And he would prove that an individual could accomplish something, and it was a collectivist society.
Right. But what they did here was they took the complete message of the original and just motherfucked it. And and then gave us like some snippets of the game.
Actually a very appropriate way of putting that, come to think of it.
It is, it is. And they just, I mean, we get snippets of the game, we get some costumes, we get the announcers, but we never actually see the game.
Yeah, no, no.
Like we see, they added sparks to when they score. That's, you know what I mean?
And from those opening scenes, you would think that he just went full-on Joel Schumacher with it.
Yeah.
Which he kind of did. And like I said, I could deal with that for an hour and a half. It was the attempt at a plot, I guess. Anyway, LL Cool J admitted in a guest appearance on Conan that the film sucked, but that it was his duty to promote it.
And he's truly the worst actor in this film, which is, I mean, that's saying a lot, actually. Yeah. That is, I mean, that's a heavy statement.
Based on everything I had heard in Bodo's comment and what have you, a number of reviews, I went into this basically expecting Showgirls, but for violence. And I was still disappointed.
Right. The violence is very tame, too.
Yeah. And just musically, okay. The original opens up with Toccata and Fugue in D minor, one of the most amazing pieces of music ever written.
This I like one, it a lot, too.
And in this one, we get pseudo-goth industrialish pop.
Kind of better with steel drums, though, honestly.
Well, yes. Yeah. But it's just, this is everything that was horrible about that time period.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I could think of watching this was, wow, you know. Well, first, I think, I hope Slipknot paid Gwar some royalties, at least.
And honestly, I totally get the Gwar joke, but I kind of like Slipknot. And I think I was most disappointed in them.
Oh, yeah?
But this is like a Michael Bay movie without the giant explosions.
Right. Lame little sparks shooting out the hole when they score.
And the American announcer guy, he looked familiar. I couldn't place him.
Yeah, I looked that up. He's Paul Heyman from one of the wrestling leagues. I think WWE. Oh,
okay, okay, yeah. That's why he looks familiar. Oh, you got annoying.
One of the best actors in the film, though, I thought. Which is saying a lot, too.
And they kick the plot off by attacking the developmentally disabled guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was he the one that yeah, he lost his helmet. They flipped his helmet off.
Off because the thing had been cut. Yeah, that attacking the disabled guy kicks the plot off.
Yeah. Does that really kick the plot off? Well, wouldn't one have to have a plot in order for it to be kicked
point,
off?
Fair point. That's in my notes when I was expecting there to be a plot. And then there's this sudden sex scene. Because apparently he's shagging one of his teammates, even though there is absolutely no context for that.
Yeah, well, they're keeping it on the down low because they're afraid of the, I guess, the owner from finding out, or they'll fuck with them.
But there's nothing before that that even tips it.
No. No, in fact, the rumor is that she's not straight.
Well, yeah.
But of course, it's one that he was... perpetuating,
of course, to keep his relationship on the deal. But okay, we need to talk about the night vision scene. And this scene is infamous. Like, this is, look up Rollerball 2002, you see mention of the night vision scene. This is the scene where they're trying to escape the government or mob or whoever they are who are pulling their strings, and they're on a bike, Chris Klein and LL Cool J, and it's all shot in night vision. I read on Wikipedia, I don't know how true this is, that the first time they shot the scene, it was too dark, so they shot it again and then just threw a green filter on it to make it look like night vision.
That makes sense.
But then, if that wasn't bad enough, there are two spots in the scene. One is when the bike crashes through a fence. I forget when the other one was. When we get the classic Hanna-Barbera boyoing sound.
Yes. The closed caption said strings twang to accompany the dwing sound.
Oh, Wilhelm would have been less out of place in this movie.
But yeah, I think the night vision scenes are the least of this film's problems.
Yes, it's just a giant what the fuck in the middle of a movie that is made of what the fuck and not in a good way.
I mean, the largest what the fuck is Chris Klein's acting.
Well, yes, but I saw American Pie back in the 90s. I was expecting that.
You know, I mean, well, it was an ensemble, so he's okay in that. But this is him starring, I mean, you say what you want about Schwarzenegger and Stallone and stuff and their acting in their movies.
The difference is, and in fairness, Oscar, Stallone has done some good stuff. I don't know about Arnie, but they can pull off the action scenes. So they've earned it.
Yeah.
Klein doesn't even, the action scenes in this movie are a joke. But, you know, when you see the lead actors, because are LL Cool J and Chris Klein, you know there's a problem. Because LL Cool J can be interesting and entertaining in a smaller role. You know?
I mean, I think, I liked him in Any Given Sunday, of course. Mm-hmm. But
you don't put him in a lead.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that TV show he's on is still on, telling you the truth.
And I'm just trying to figure out when it went from a silly action movie to a political drama.
Oh, right. Because, right, it just talks about I only knew it was Kazakhstan because I looked stuff up online. They really don't make it clear.
Mm-hmm. What I think it's on a map in one scene. It does ring a bell.
Yeah. Which is why I was for the title, the Borat reference. Mm-hmm.
But it's like they crowbarred all of that in to give Jonathan some kind of, going against the man sort of thing, so the audience could get behind him, so they could set up the no rules game to mirror the original.
Didn't even make any sense, the no rules game.
They just crowbarred it in to have some semblance to the original.
Because honestly, were there any rules in the first place? Like, the only person I ever saw get penalized for something was the person that took a swing at a ref.
Right. Well, they literally smashed the disabled guy in the head with the ball.
And there were no penalties for that. So, them deciding there are no rules. They should have just had no rules from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. But we had to have the no rules game because that was a thing in the original. And they were just trying to tie it to the original somehow in terms of the plot. And I kind of liked the bit where he was going after the mobster until the guns.
Yeah.
He stops a fucking shotgun with a bar top.
Yeah. It's really embarrassing. Like I said, that has to be one of the worst fight scenes.
Which is far around.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was trauma, but no, not fun.
I don't know what it was. I mean, it was worse than a cartoon, It was...
because cartoon violence, a.k.a. trauma, is fun.
Yeah.
They know what they have.
You just see the bullets kind of spark against this bar stool, which, I mean, whatever it's made of, and then him overpowering everybody with the ball.
Yeah.
Now, you could overpower the first guy with the ball.
Sure.
But how do you get the second guy on the other side of the room with the gun?
Right. That's if you're up close and you've got the element of surprise, that could work.
Yeah.
On the other side of a room with a guy with a shotgun, no.
I mean, it's like the movie Hot Shots, then, where they're like,
firing. And,
they're like really close to the other. Oh, no, wait a minute. It was UHF where he's doing Rambo and he's just firing away. Yes. And then the camera pans back and he's like right next to him, but somehow missing.
And this is the second Norman Jewison film that McTiernan has done, the first being Thomas Crown. I hope Norman Jewison has filed some kind of injunction.
Well, if they remake Moonstruck, would anybody really...
Well, I mean, if you do this with Moonstruck, go for it.
Chris Klein.
Yeah. Rebecca Madonna Romijn in the show. Yeah, there we go. Rebecca Romijn in the show. Rolf, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm not even going to talk about sequels and remakes because this is the remake and it should never happen again.
Yeah. It makes the original look like Chaucer.
It does.
Yeah. Like, wait, I'm trying to remember what I gave it. I think I gave it a 4.
You gave it a 4. I gave it a 3. We both liked it. You liked it slightly more than I did.
Yeah.
On the brains to show the difference between last week and this week.
Yeah.
I'm going 0. This movie does not have any redeeming factors.
Wow. I'm giving it a 2. Wow. The camera was in focus.
You're easy.
Well, you know, there were some, like, the chases, though unnecessary, you know, actually were done well. But, I mean, there was nothing connecting them. And really, I think the most egregious offense here is taking what the original was about and just turning it into this xenophobic,
yes,
bizarre thing that they just melded together.
We should have listened to Bodo.
Yeah.
So what have we learned?
That Rebecca Romijn wasn't even the worst actor in the film. Like, and I just assumed when we started, I said, oh, Rebecca Romijn's in this. Well, you know what we're in for. I wouldn't even put her in the bottom two.
Oh, no, no. The leads were the bottom two. Yeah. You had to know Lil Cool J and Chris Klein in lead roles.
I mean, she was no Jean Reno or Naveen Andrew, but, no, you know.
And I feel the worst for Naveen Andrew.
Yeah.
Because he's a great actor.
And he was good in this, actually.
Yeah, he was the bright spot.
He only had 3 scenes, unfortunately.
Yeah, Jean Reno has...
I could see the paycheck hanging out of his back pocket while he was doing it.
And Jean Reno is a talented actor. I mean, I love The Professional.
He bought this a brain, honestly.
Fair. But he's like Liam Neeson. In fact, one of my suggested titles was Jean Reno Gotta Eat, Little Nod the Trailer Clash there. Their episode, Liam Neeson Gotta Eat. Because Jean Reno will do anything for a fucking paycheck.
Definitely. In fact, I wonder how much it would take to get him to come on the show. we should kickstart that.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do a trilogy. Him, Ben Kingsley, and Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
And I learned that the late 90s and early 2000s were a truly regrettable period in pop culture.
Yeah. Yeah, the music really sucked in this from one end to the other, honestly.
Just in general, that whole era was just a bad idea. What were we thinking? That was our 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But yeah, White Zombie.
Mm-hmm. And Pop White Zombie. Because it wasn't even like, was it 69? What was that song?
I mean...
1960, something 1969.
The problem was they were all the same.
There was something 1969.
The Astro Creep in 1969 and whatever. Yeah, they were all the same song. Just a lot of yes.
But they did like a pop version of it at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the White Zombie version.
It was kind of like a Smashing Pumpkins version of White Zombie. It was really weird.
Yeah. And mercifully, that's it for Rollerball. Until next time, when we'll be concluding our Robert Rodriguez two-parter. There's nothing more zombie takeout than interrupting a two-parter with a two-parter.
Right.
With El Mariachi. Always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.